Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Herod, the Tetrarch, heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead, and others were saying, Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept on trying to see him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's no accident that we're offered the vision of Koheleth, the voice of wisdom speaking through the ages. Go after things that are vain and you'll be miserable. And it's set right next to the example of King Herod, who was perhaps the vainest man of his age. Herod, of course, sat falsely on the throne of David. Now, David was not a perfect man. He was kind of a rapist and a murderer, but he was an honest rapist and murderer, which is a very different thing than Herod, who made pretenses of piety, but was rotten to the core. The vanity of kings leads to the fall of nations. Herod, ultimately, and his family were what led to the destruction of the city, the demolition and desecration of the temple, the end, really, of ancient Judaism as it was known. Every nation subsequent has had to look very carefully at itself, at its leaders, at its vision for the world, and check its own vanity. And we are no different. We gather on this day, set aside by President Lincoln more than 150 years ago, to fast and to pray for the nation, because he understood, as hopefully we understand, the tendencies that led to Herod and the downfall of Israel, we share today. And I mean we, not just them, whoever they are. Every one of us has to come to grip with the sort of vanity that will never lead to happiness and will always lead to poor decision making. Every one of us has to come to grips with whatever it is that is preventing us from seeing him. We have heard of him. We may even long for him, but we struggle to see him. We, American Catholics, are in some ways uniquely situated in this sense. We're the only nation in the history of the church that has a heresy named just after us. And that's not an accident. It's kind of obscure, I'll grant you, but it's not an accident. There was a problem in the late 19th century where American Catholics, who had begun to become friendly with American Protestants, tried to absorb this idea of what fancy pants people call American exceptionalism into the church. That America has its own unique destiny and is somehow or other ordained above the rest of the nations to get right what all of those places in Europe had mucked up, which is why our people had to come here. It's the height of arrogance. It has nothing to do with God. And it ultimately would lead to the dissolution of our nation as Herod's vanity led to his. which is why the Pope had to smack Cardinal Gibbons around. Even cardinals sometimes get it wrong. But what is right, because every heresy is ultimately a deformation of a truth, what it does get right is the honest recognition of the people that live here, as the people who live anywhere, that God does have a plan for us. For each of us as individuals, for us as a community, and yes, for a nation. That's why the prayers of the Mass are so keenly directed that the nation might live in peace and concord, that the nation might preserve the common good and harmony, that the nation might itself further the kingdom of God. We want this to be easy. We want, ultimately, the spiritual life not to be nearly as difficult as we actually experience it in the day-to-day. It's all right, I suppose, if maybe once a year we pray and fast for the country as a sign of civic duty or patriotism. But to have to do the hard work of making friends with people we disagree so that we can begin to change hearts and minds, to have to do the hard work of loving people who outright challenge, defame, and hate us, to have to do the hard work which Christians have done from the very beginning of praying for the nation, praying for Caesar, even as he puts us to death, most of us are unwilling. Some of us, perhaps even unable. John was put to death wrongly, executed illegally, even by their standards, by a wicked king. And the Christians of the day, at least at the beginning, were also executed illegally. They were put to death wrongly, even based on the laws of the people putting them to death. We have to be willing to fight for what's right in our country, to hold our leaders accountable, and to hold one another to task. But unless we're willing to suffer for it, it's all just political bluster. We have among us, even here tonight, and certainly every Sunday, many who have suffered, many who continue to struggle for it. Their witness, their living martyrdom, is a testimony to us all. But you know, it's interesting, even the words. So, patriotism is historically understood as a virtue. The patria, the fatherland, the motherland, the place from which we come, deserves our gratitude just as our parents do. But nationalism, the love of the nation for its own sake, and here's the trick. This is what happens with the words. It's why words matter. So patriotism comes from father and mother, but nationalism, the word, it's the same root as nativity. It's not the parents, it's the kids. It's sort of national adolescence. Primal ussing. It really is all about me, or we, and us. How can we transform our national consciousness, our patriotic imagination, to be willing to live and die, suffer and sacrifice, for the sake of something bigger than any one of us, bigger than a single ideal, bigger than a single social problem, bigger than a single program? How can we transform our hearts and minds as the prophets called ancient Israel to transform their own? How can we not just be better than we are right now, but better than we've ever been before, better than even right now we can imagine. This much is sure. We cannot do it alone. If it is possible, it is only in light of He who in every age has been our refuge.